Blog Talk Radio.
I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to ride, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crying in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
T-minus 10 seconds.
And welcome to another episode of Sirius Rising on Toxic Reality Radio. I am your host tonight, Dee Smith. And tonight I am joined by my regular guest, Danny Wilson, and fellow Aussie ass kicker, Max Egan. Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Hey there.
Hey, it's nice to be on the show, Dee.
Thanks for joining us, Max. It's a real honour to have you here with us. And as Danny and I were just saying before, we're a little bit starstruck because we really do look up to, you know, people such as yourself that have such great insights about the different aspects and issues that we face in these times. So I'm just really, really happy that we can have you join us here for the next 2 hours. And a lot of people that may not have been introduced to your insights and your work. So we're really looking forward to, you know, kicking back and having some really, perhaps not in-depth discussions, but some more insightful discussions and perspectives about this time. Now, Max, you've got a huge channel on YouTube called The Crow House, and I know a lot of people look forward to your insights. And, you know, your last video series, The Globalism by Distraction, was spot on, I have to say. And I really wish that I could get everybody who is paying so much attention to the circuses to, you know, just look away for a moment and understand, as you say, that they're being distracted for a reason. So can you kind of go in a little bit more about how the agenda is of these people in control to distract us while they bring in and clamp down on our freedom?
Well, our whole social structure is designed to distract us. Really, when you look at it, even the fact that we've got to chase paper to be alive and the whole hierarchical system that we live in, it's all designed to distract people. But then even when people wake up to what's going on in the world, there's this whole community of conspiracy theories to distract them them down rabbit holes. And people, they wake up to what's going on in the world. They look beyond the veil, so to speak, and they see that things aren't the way they thought they were. They see that there literally is a controlling hand, and the world is just not the way they thought it was. And it's quite amazing for people when they come to this discovery, and so they want to know who's in control, what's it all about. It's like a spy novel to them. It's like going and watching an adventure movie. And they start finding out little bits, and then they wait for these radio shows every week and these new updates, and it's like a spy novel. And again, they're caught into this. It's almost like infotainment, you know. And they're not realizing the urgency of the situation. They're not applying themselves to the world around them. You know, it's one thing to be aware of the system, and it's one thing to want to know who's in control, but that's all very well, but what you've got to see is that we do have a problem and we need to implement solutions. And I believe that once we implement the correct solutions, who they are will become apparent. Because at the moment, you can go and point the finger at so many different places and you can present enough evidence to create a convincing argument, even a case that may stand up to court, you know, to convince that it's the Zionists, it's the Jesuits, it's this, it's that, it's whatever. But all of it is irrelevant because it all leads you away from the solution,
Absolutely. Which,
you know, and that's what we need. We really need solutions at this stage. That's what I tried to present on that show. That's what I've been trying to present to people for 4 years. I mean, the shows can get somewhat repetitive that I do, because once you find out what the solution is, you think, what's the point of deviating from this? I've been telling you for 4 years, if you're not getting it yet, I'm not seeing people implementing it around me, so maybe I need to say it again so you can hear it again, because that's what we need to do, is start implementing these solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're so spot on. I mean, Danny and I often discuss on the show how people tend to always look for these saviors. You know, it's like the Mass Arrests, or it's the Galactic Federation of Light, or it's some mythical, you know, savior descending from the clouds to save us. And I don't know why people find it really hard to understand that we're it. And if we don't make the changes, then I'm afraid that no one else is coming along to make them for us. So when I heard you say that, I was like, wow, that is, you know, absolutely spot on. You know, people got to start realizing the power lies within ourselves, and this distraction is just more circuses.
Well, it's again, it's handing responsibility to other people. You know, you say, okay, now I'm self-empowered, you change the world, you know. Well, hang on. No, you've got to do it yourself. You've got to have this community. This is why I speak so much about community as well, because it's one thing for me to know all this and to know who I am. But if I go and stand up against these people by myself, I'll get eaten up if I don't have a community standing around with me. So I need you to know this as well. Everybody needs to know what's going on. And the reason I think that you resonate with the shows and resonate with what I'm saying on the shows is because all I'm doing is stating basic, simple truth.
Yeah,
it's just the truth. I mean, if you look around you and you add up one and one, it equals two.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm doing on the shows, is I'm just stating the obvious. And I'm trying to be calm about it and get people to see the power that they actually have.
What was that, Danny?
It's definitely necessary to do those repetitions over and over again, because, you know, people are continually waking up. And so I know that when I first started waking up a couple of years ago, Max, that you're one of the first people that really kind of turned me on to reality the way it is. And even though you probably were saying the same thing 2 years prior before that, it's helpful to know that when new people are starting to wake up, they can come to people like you and hear the same thing over again that needs to be heard. And so we kind of have to keep repeating these things over and over again.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I get a lot of new listeners and I get a lot of new subscribers and you know, the website and all this sort of stuff. So I do repeat the information. But it's important. It's important that people wake up from this matrix. And the way the matrix is instilled into them is through repetition. You're always getting all this subtext fed to you on the television, and advertising, and the political system, and even by your peers. You're getting it from all directions all the time. You're bombarded with it. And even people who wake up to reality, they can listen to one of my shows and go, yeah, wow, that's really changed my perspective of reality. And then they just slip back into the matrix.
Yeah.
And they're off there, and they're working, and they're watching TV, and they're doing all the little things. And then they sort of come back to this on the weekend. You know, so it's like a spy novel. They're not applying themselves to the solution. And the solution is to know who and what you are, and really what's needed is self-responsibility, and that's the scary part about it. That's why people don't do anything, because it means that they have to hold themselves accountable for their own lives, and people don't like that, and because they're trained not to. I mean, this responsibility is removed from you since birth. You start losing self-responsibility from your siblings as soon as you're born, and your parents, they take it away from you. Very, very rarely is a mind nurtured from birth to become all that it could be. Mind is born into the world, and then it's bombarded with other people's views of what reality should be, and told that it needs to walk between these lines if it's going to be accepted. So you completely curtail the whole human experience straight away, and you take that self-responsibility, self-empowerment, and self-understanding, self-exploration away from people right from birth. Then you train them through the education and scholastic systems to be a good little cog in the big machine, and that it's all about, you know, the one with the most wins. It's a hierarchical system, and they just train them to be this way. So that's why I find it very difficult to attach blame to anybody. When I look at people that are asleep, people call them sheeple, and they insult them, and I go, well, no, they're doing exactly what they've been programmed to do.
Yeah.
And most people are like that. Even most of the people now who are awake were once like that. So how can you even believe that by putting these people down, you're going to wake them up, or you're going to help, what are you going to insult them into consciousness?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And I myself am guilty for calling them sheeple. And, you know, I suppose it comes from frustration sometimes because, you know, I'm like you, Max. I love Mother Earth. And, you know, I really do feel pain when I see, you know, what they're doing to her and how they're damaging her. And I suppose when I see people just remain so silent on this, when it's right in front of their faces, and, you know, a lot of these people have children too, and this is what we're handing our next generation, this broken and toxic planet, I just really get pissed off, and it's like, just wake the hell up, you know? I mean, you just want to just yell at them, and as you say, you can't make them become conscious by yelling at them and abusing them, though sometimes it's attractive, And I find it interesting that you say that people don't want to take responsibility because, you know, it's almost like we've been brought up to blame everybody else for everything. It's like, well, it's not my problem, it's yours. You know, it's in your backyard, you deal with it.
Well, exactly. I mean, and self-responsibility is one of the scariest things that people ever have. They think self-responsibility means that I've got a job and I look after my family, so therefore I'm self-responsible.
Yeah.
Well, hang on, why do you need a job? Why do you have to pay to be alive? Why can't you go and live anywhere? You know, people see self-responsibility means people can't shop at supermarkets. They might actually have to care for themselves. We might actually need to install a government system which is more something like a group of elders who are all very, very wise in their respective fields.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a couple of people who are really good with fishing and that sort of industry, some farmers, people who know how to run the place properly and honestly.
Yeah.
And they may create a situation and a system whereby we all participate to make this a better world and make our lives better and take self-responsibility. If you've got sickness in your house, well, what are you eating? You know, it's a really, really scary thing for people. They don't want to know about it. They just want to be able to watch their television at night. They want to know that they can get petrol from the petrol station, that there's going to be food on the supermarket shelves. They don't want to think about anything else. Just, you know, I've got to work so hard to be alive. Just give me my little bit of peace. I don't want to know about this. Even if it's true, I don't want to know about it. I found my little line that I can walk. And if I walk this line, I'm safe. I'm happy. No one complains with me. I just don't have to look at what's going on in the world. Leave me alone. Give me my little bit of peace. Just give me my television and my home at night, and I don't care. And they're trained to be that way. Now, I'll say, the sheeple are sleeping, but I won't use it as a derogatory way, you know, not use it as an insulting way.
No.
People are, I mean, the world is like a group of sheep.
They know how to use the system to keep these people asleep very well. I mean, they have distraction after distraction. They know that people love the drama, and so they insert things like Illuminati this and Illuminati that and Freemason this and Freemason that, and so everybody's just wrapped around all the drama according to all that, and they forget to see the real truth that's behind a lot of it. That's what I've noticed so far, and so just especially with this latest Petco 2 video that everybody's talking about all this Illuminati this and Illuminati that, and they're missing the point of the whole thing. And as long as people are wrapped up in the drama and they're not looking for the real truth, we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, just people to point the finger at. I mean, I want someone to blame for the situation of the world. Okay, well, look, there are people that are doing bad things at the top, and they are a lot of it is they're to blame for what's going on. But, you know, I don't want to hurt them. I don't care what anybody did. I just care about what we do.
Yeah.
And okay, so these people at the top, well, how are they doing it? How are they getting away with it? Well, they're getting away with it because they're just writing all these rules down on pieces of paper and everyone's going along with it.
Yeah.
Because we don't understand what our relationship with government is. Well, who's the government? How come they're writing all these rules down? How come there's all these laws? Where do they come from? Okay, well, they come from government. Okay, well, what is government? Who are these people that do all this stuff? Well, actually, they're trustees. They're public trustees. We employ them to manage, we employ the governments to manage the commonwealth of the nation. And so how come everybody's in a state of shortage? That's not what we employ these people to do.
Exactly.
We've got a world of abundance. How come everybody's struggling so much?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've got to tighten our belts. Oh, the economy this, the economy that. Well, hang on, what's the economy? It's a bunch of numbers on a screen. It doesn't mean anything. It's not real. You can't go and poke it with a stick. See, people have to try to shift their paradigm. Well, see, it all comes down to money
every time I see it. You know, it's all money. You know, just like Obama is – his campaign apparently is supposed to be a $1 billion campaign.
Oh, my God.
And they got Romney on the other side. It's all about the best president of money can buy rather than somebody who's going to get in there and do what needs to be done, because they're all funded by the large corporations that fund their campaigns and everything else. And every time I look around, it's every problem we have in this world all comes down to money, it seems.
Well, absolutely. It's because, as I've often said on the shows recently, it's because the human experience has been reduced to commerce. You know, we got enough food lying around the world in warehouses and in fields growing to be able to feed everybody in this world in abundance. We could feed the world five times over. But we don't have the money to feed them. We don't have the money to ship it around, because there's a dollar value attached to everything, because the whole human experience has been reduced to commerce. And people can't even think of life without commerce. It's very, very difficult for people to think of what the world would be like if there was no money, if there was no commerce. Because, again, it would come back to self-responsibility.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get anywhere in the world if you weren't a good person and didn't help to improve reality by your presence in it. You know, you just couldn't sit there and be a lazy person sitting in front of the TV all day drinking beer and expect the world to wait on you. You'd have to contribute. And contribution to the world comes from self-awareness. When you have awareness of yourself and you have acceptance of yourself, there becomes a need to contribute to the world. I know my purpose here is to help improve reality by my presence in it. Why else would I be here? And that's the legacy that you leave behind. How much did you improve reality by your presence in it? What was the point of your life? What did you do with the time that was allotted to you? Did you just sit there and eat meat pies and watch television? Well, wow, what a great life. What a contribution you made.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and this goes back to even ancient Egypt, Max, you know, because they, you know, said that a life worth living, like you were put here to gain and expand consciously and gain knowledge, you know, you weren't here to waste your life, you know, and I think, as you say, a lot of people are just happy to suck up the circuses and live their reality through TV, you know, or through someone else's illusion. And, you know, ridiculous that's the only time that we seem to find any pleasure is in pretending that we may one day, you know, have that same type of life that's being reflected on the, you know, on the media. And, you know, it's just not going to happen, as you say, until we take responsibility for our own lives and ourselves. And, you know, I'm exactly agree with you, Max, that we need to take it back to the community. You know, we've lost our power by giving it to the corporations, and this globalization is just continuing to separate us from each other and divide us from our, you know, our true power. Whereas if we bring it back to the village and we have the wisest of the village, you know, who are, have they have a reason that they want things to be good, you know. I mean, the government doesn't care. It doesn't affect them whether you have dinner on your table or not that night, but your village would care if your, you know, your cows are helping provide milk and your vegetables are being shared around at the market and bartered. I mean, as you say, it comes down to everyone taking responsibility. And I can easily imagine the world going back to then. And I think until people begin to wrap their mind around that, then we are going to continue to struggle and just scratch out an existence on this planet instead of really living and enjoying, you know, this beautiful place that we've incarnated on.
Well, yeah, we have the opportunity to do it. You know, we need a global village. We need to have empowered communities now in the situation that we've got within this system that we've got.
Yep.
We need to have empowered communities so that we have the power and potential to be able to stand up against the public trustees that are committing all this damage or allowing all this damage to be committed. And we need to reinstate mankind back into the equation.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a global village where there was a group of elders. I mean, you could have a global government, but not the type of global government they want to give us. Not even a global government, but a group of elders, a group of wise men.
Yeah.
People who just know how reality works. And we could, you know, someone there, we could work in a system like that so that everybody in the world was looked after. Okay, now that everybody's fed, everybody's clothed, everybody's housed.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do to take this human experience to its greatest potential, you know, because we have so much potential to do this, but we're prevented from doing so by commerce. Commerce is what's prevented us from getting free energy. Commerce is what's kept everybody in a state of scarcity, because everybody's got to pay to be alive. Everyone's got to run around and collect paper in order to have a tomato that grows on a tree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So we need to change our perspective of what is valuable in the world. What is valuable in this reality? And what is valuable is life. Yep. Life itself. And life has an incredible amount of potential. And it's been prevented from that potential by this system, this hierarchical system that we've got in place. It's all controlled through commerce. Yep. Everybody's controlled by commerce. So it's changing that perspective, you know. Like people can have their pride of their country, their nationalistic pride, their ethnic pride, their cultural pride, their heritage, all of that sort of stuff. You know, we grew up wearing these type of clothes and eating this type of food and
yep.
doing these types of things and weaving these types of baskets and all this sort of stuff. That's all great. Keep all that. Be proud of that.
Yeah.
But don't see that as something that invalidates somebody else. They grew up with their cultural experience and they grew up with their, you know, different aspects of reality. So honor that and see that as a beautiful thing, the diversity of this species. Why do we see that as a reason for division? Why do
yeah.
we see that as something to be different? Why do we see different as dangerous? When different isn't dangerous, different is beautiful.
Yeah.
Difference and diversity is what makes up reality. And as soon as we can see the people around us as valid and see the people of other nations as valid and see humanity as valid and mankind as valid and take responsibility for ourselves, we can change reality.
That's
what it's all got to come down to. And this is all, again, self-responsibility. But once you've got that self-responsibility, you've got to lead by example. You can't just be there in this bubble of love and light.
No, exactly.
You've got to lead by example and apply it to the community around you. Show people that there is a better way. You're not going to change the world by screaming out sheeple, by finding people to point the finger at. You've got to lead by example and show people that there is a better way to what we're doing now. And when you do deal with these authorities, know who and what you are and stand in your flesh. View them as public trustees and question their actions politely, intelligently,
yep.
kindly, non-judgmentally. Just talk to these people. I mean, who do these people think they are that they can use the power that we give them to enact legislation that takes our rights away? How do they
exactly.
think they have the power to do this? And when people try to address that and go against the system, they believe they have to go and work within legal parameters and use the rabbit holes that the system creates for them. So they never get
yeah.
anywhere because they're not stepping back and viewing it as a fiduciary trust. View the whole thing as fiduciary trust. Know what your relationship with government is. Be polite. Be kind, be respectful, and simply ask the right questions, but always know that the person that you are talking to is simply a human being the same as you. There is no difference. It doesn't matter what their office is. Don't talk to their office. Talk
no.
to the man within the clothes. Talk to the person.
That's yeah. right, because we're a collective, aren't we? And, you know, true, it's really our perception that we need to change. Our perception of reality as it stands needs to change because it's really an illusion that we're living, and this is the illusion that they've built around us, and they've said, here's your reality, there you go, and we've just been happy to, I suppose because it's happened for so long and we've been conditioned, as you say, since little babies, we're just happy to go with the flow and never question. But more of us are starting to question, and we're starting to look around and start realizing we're really not very happy. All we're doing is really paying to exist on this planet. We're not really living. We're just existing. And, you know, it's for the benefit of a few at the top, and it's to the detriment of our planet, of ourselves and our future generations, because, as you say, Max, we're a collective. We're all one. And, you know, we've got to stop viewing each other as different and I'm better than you and I've got a bigger car than you and a bigger house. It should be, you know, we're all human beings. We all want to live in a beautiful, healthy planet. And, you know, we all just want to be happy and healthy. So let's try and do this together, stand, you know, side by side together and stop the division, you know, stop the, as you say, you're a sheeple and I'm going to look down on you. It's more or less, it should be, you're a sheeple and I'm going to help you, you know. And as you say, do something about that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you know,
you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the things I've noticed in my research, I think one of the reasons why that we've got so many problems all the time is because we've continually had our past taken from us. People don't know what's really going on. You know, anything that successfully grows in the universe, and I've said this many times before, follows the golden mean. And to follow the golden mean basically means that you look into your past in order to know where you're going to go in the future. And if you take a look in our history, we've had our past taken from us so many times, and there's a few organizations that we're all aware of that have been responsible for that. And so it's been in my research, one of the things I've been doing is to dig into our past to find out what the real truth is to help us move forward in the future.
Yep.
And I just think that's a shame that it's happening. It's really important that we hold on to our past. I don't care whether what religion it is, what part of history it is, but there was just some fake news that came out recently about how they were going to destroy the pyramids. We found out that that was all fake and everything, but it's still a very serious subject and something to pay attention to, because we wouldn't ever want to destroy something in our past that helps us understand our future better. And I think this has happened a lot. And
It has, absolutely. Well, I spoke about this in my film, The Awakening, how everything follows Fibonacci sequence. Everything follows the golden mean. And really, it's by combining the present with the past that you create the future. That's how Fibonacci sequence works.
Yeah.
And what you find is that we've had our past removed from us, as you say.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful quote by George Orwell that who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
Very interesting.
Wonderful quote. You know, so, and that's absolutely been taken from us. I mean, I've done whole shows about this. I mean, this is a very, very deep topic, that the loss of our past, the knowledge of our past, is virtually what's created the human predicament, because we don't know what we are. We don't know where we came from. We don't know what we're capable of, because we've had all that information removed from us. And we're very, very trained. And again, with the division and the stuff that happens in response to the problem as well. See, even when people become awake, they very often awaken just to a symptom. They might see what's going on with the oceans, or the whaling, or the coal seam gas, or all of this stuff. And so they'll go down that rabbit hole, and they'll get tunnel vision, and they'll just address that symptom. They're not stepping back and seeing that's just a symptom.
Yeah.
But the whaling and the coal seam gas mining ultimately come because of the same cause.
Yeah.
All of it is related to the one problem, which is the system itself. The system functions because it's based on commerce. That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? And you can point the finger at the bankers and all that sort of stuff and say, well, look, these are very evil people. Yeah, sure they are. But the system only functions because we give it power. We go along with it because we're divided from each other.
Yeah.
And if we want to fight the system or address the system, our response to it is compartmentalized, because it's the whaling group and it's the coal seam gas group and it's the this group and the that group and the animal rights group and the gay rights group and the this group and the that group. It's just it's chaos. And it's all different little compartments addressing their own respective symptom, and nobody's actually dealing with the problem. And it's created this way.
Well, I mean, of course, you always have the challenge, too. How are you going to convince somebody who has everything at the top to give it all away for the sake of humanity?
Well,
yeah.
You're never going to.
Already in their little comfort zone and their shell, and they're saying, I'm not going to get rid of anything I've got going on right now for everybody else.
Exactly, that's the way these groups are compartmentalized and kept in line as well. You'll find that there'll be people that'll start a coal seam gas group or anti-whaling group or whatever, and they'll end up getting funding, they'll get donations, and they'll end up with a hierarchical system within that group where the guys at the top, they say, well, I've got this funding happening now, and their egos kind of kick in. And they don't want anyone else to try to take away the progress that they believe, they perceive themselves to be making with their issue. But, I mean, it's still going on. Coal seam gas has been going on for 20 years. No, it hasn't stopped yet with all the responses to it. So, and whaling. How long have they been whaling? How long have they been protesting the whaling? How much funding have they had? They've got boats, got all this stuff. It's still going on, because they're going down those legal parameters, and then you can't get these groups to combine because they don't want to detract from their symptom. They think their symptom is the important system. This is the one. They're not realizing that it's just a symptom. It's not a problem. None of these things are problems. All the problems that we face, none of them are actually problems. They're all symptoms of the one problem, which is the system itself, and this system functions because we give it the power to function. We
absolutely
do that because we don't know who and what we are, and we don't have the power
but
to
that is also,
against
that's
it because
also
we're in divided
challenge.
Communities.
Isn't that the challenge, though, at the same time? Because we could say that, hey, this is the problem, that we're giving it the power, but making that change is it's the difficult part, because you've got to convince all these people at the top in all these different areas that what they're doing is not right. You know, we've got all these technologies that we've seen them that are out there that we could change, or we didn't have to worry about. We couldn't put people in in situations of scarcity anymore, and we can solve a lot of the problems, but they don't allow it to happen because it might sacrifice the stock in their company and these large oil companies. They don't want to convert over to something else.
The thing is, though, that it isn't even they. It's the system. It's the way the system's structured. You'll find that these companies, these have got board members and these have got boards of directors, and they only look at figures.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're trained to look at. They don't even think outside of that box. They just think about the figures and the company and the paradigm that they're trained to think.
Yeah.
And all within the company, it's all compartmentalized. And when we say those, we're actually referring to the system itself, because the system, all the people within the system that work, do the office jobs and drive the cars and do all this stuff, they're just people the same as us. That's what gives it the power. It's all from the people. It's all from the individual. It's a fictional system.
It's a lot easier to get somebody who doesn't have anything in order to to get things better than it is to have somebody at the top.
Absolutely.
Who's got everything and he rides to work every day in a limo. When I use the word they, I'm not pointing the finger at any particular person. It is the system, but there are certain people in the system that are not. They don't want to be taken out of their little reality to change everything for the better. Because hey, it's already great for them already. Why do they want to change anything?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I know exactly what you're saying there. But see, the thing is as well, what we've got to try to do is change the paradigm of the people in the response units, like the anti-whaling group and the CSG group and all the people that are responding to these symptoms. The trick is to try to find a way to shift the paradigm within the minds of these people so that these organizations can all combine and start addressing the actual problem instead of having this compartmentalized response, because that's never going to get anywhere. It's just divide and conquer.
Mm.
And that they're trained to think that way. So, again, you've got to find a way of bringing this information to these people in a way that they're not going to take it as an affront to what they're doing or an insult to what they're doing. They're not going to let their egos get in the way, which is very difficult because, as I've said, they've risen to certain stages within their system. They might start a group that's a response group to whaling or something, but they end up with a hierarchical system, and there's a couple of people at the top that are in charge of the money, and they like the way things are going, and their ego gets in the way every time because they think money's real. They base it all on commerce. They base their response on commerce, and they go down the parameters provided by the legal system. So they never get anywhere. Ultimately,
we've got a new thing out now called the IPAA, I believe it's called. It's another version of SOPA. And so I don't know if a lot of people understand this or not, but the Internet has been our tool in order to reach everyone. And they are really starting to try to crack down on the Internet. And I don't know how much time we're going to have in order to reach people. If that gets taken away from us, we may be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, they're obviously getting concerned, aren't they, because they really, they're starting to really clamp down on the Internet. Even over in Australia, Max, we're experiencing, I think a lot of Australians seem to think we're a little bit protected here and we're not, as bad as over in the USA. But, I can tell you right now that you are living in an illusion if you think that same things aren't happening in our country that, is happening over in the USA. And as you mentioned in that last series, Max, we're getting X-ray scanners now in the airport. We're going to have drones based off the Cocos Islands, and they're talking about them doing surveillance down the coast. It's just by stealth. They do it slowly and they creep these things in. And while we're all watching the circuses and who won the football this week, all of our rights and liberties and our freedoms are being taken away behind our back. So, the Internet is the best tool we've got at the moment. But you know what? I've always had a lot of faith in humans, and I think that even if they did take the Internet away from us, we would find a way around it.
I think there'll be ways. Even if they try to limit the Internet, I think that there's people that will always be able to find a way through it. I mean, some of the old phone freakers are already finding ways around all their censorship, so I don't think it's going to be as easy for them to limit the Internet as they think.
Yeah.
And if people in Australia, I mean, Australia is one of the most controlled countries on earth. It really is.
Yeah.
We've been disarmed. Who else has been disarmed?
Exactly.
Australia is the first country that's been disarmed since Nazi Germany.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Never before since Nazi Germany as a government disarmed its people. And this was done in response to the Port Arthur massacre, of course. And the evidence to show that was a setup is abundant anywhere to anybody who wants to look at it. That did not go down the way the government told us it did. And,
Nazi Germany.
Yeah, and it's happening.
Germany is a prime example of how our history has been, you know, people are not aware of their history, because you can see that the same kind of things are happening over again, and yet nobody pays attention to their history to see that all of the red flags that are right in front of our face happening again.
Well, yeah, Nazi Germany was basically where they ran the beta test to do what they're doing right now. See, if you really, really look at World War II, it didn't really end. I mean, the Nazis didn't lose World War II. Germany lost World War II. The Nazis were smuggled out through the Vatican, through Operation Paperclip. Most of the prominent Nazis, hundreds of them, were smuggled out through the Vatican. A lot of them went to America. A lot of them went to South America, and God knows where else they went. And they started organizations like the CIA, the NSA, NASA was all started by Nazi think tanks, all this sort of stuff. So what they did is they ran the test in Germany, and then they went out. And if you look at Germany, you'll find that steel was supplied to the Nazi war machine by Ford Motor Company.
Yeah.
You had, you know, Avril Harriman. You had so many people involved, so many American companies involved. You had European banking dynasties, Rothschilds and all this, financing the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. So the whole thing was financed by Europe, England, and America. You know, they ran the whole Nazi war machine. So that's where they ran the test, and then they brought it out, and all the things that they tried in Nazi Germany, they just spread it out to the rest of the world, and they slowly put their system over the whole Western world. And now the whole Western world is being locked down into the Nazi system. Only they did that in 5 years in Germany. They're doing it in about 60 to 70 years in the rest of the world. They're just doing the process a lot slower. It's like the frog in water syndrome.
Exactly.
But if you really look at it, the Nazis didn't lose the World War. I kind of think of the Nazis as like the Special Ops Division. They went out there and they ran the test, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then they just merged back in with the Western world and said, okay, well, this all worked, so this is what we're going to do, you know. And that's what we're seeing.
In our history books, tell us something totally different than it does.
Yeah,
yeah, of course, of course. But all you have to do is step back and look at the world. You know, that's all. But all you really have to do. See, forget the history books. History's written by the winners. You can go and look at the history books. Look at all the ancient history, what they tell you happened in ancient history, how we came from hunters and gatherers, and we had this gradual process to this incredibly amazing, technologically advanced society that we have today. Then you go walk around the world, go and check out a few places, and you find these huge piles of stones everywhere that tell a completely different story, that say, hey, you used to have technology that did much better stuff than what we can do now. And you say, they might say, well, how come you see this pile of stones is much better than this computer age? You know, well, it's because we don't know how to do that pile of stones.
Exactly.
You know? We don't know how to do the stuff that they did back then. We cannot build something like the pyramids of Giza. We do not have the technology to do this. I mean, how hard is it to stack a pile of stones? But we can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? That should give people pause to think. I mean, just that alone.
It's never talked about at all.
Exactly. I mean, aren't they still taught at school that the pyramids were built by logs and rope? I think that's actually still taught at school.
Well, they speculate that that's probably how it must have been done, you know. But I mean, they still say they were tombs. They say that the Cheops was built there, or Khufu was buried there. There were never any sarcophagus. There was never any bodies found in one pyramid.
Exactly.
Pyramids were not built as tombs. There's no inscriptions in the pyramid. People think the Great Pyramid's full of inscriptions, and there was a tomb in there. But none of that was ever found. It's all speculation. So, the thing is, we can't do that. And the problem is that these ancient artifacts and ancient relics are presented to the people as curios and oddities.
Yeah.
But just their existence is so profound. If people really just step back and say, well, it's one thing to say we don't know how they did that, but what does that really mean? It's profound that we don't know how they did that.
Exactly.
If these things are lying all over the planet, and these are too advanced, you know, we can't stack a pile of stones that way. Something as basic as a pile of stones, we can't do that. What happened? Where did that knowledge go? What were we actually capable of on this planet? What sort of civilizations do we have here? And why do we have a civilization now that is essentially temporary accommodation? I mean, if everybody on the planet died today, in 1,000 years from now, there would not be one trace of this civilization.
I thought of that.
None of it would last.
They knew a long time ago that by building things with stone that it would last.
Exactly.
And
none of these buildings would last.
None of these buildings could last. And everything would grow over them. We'd never know about them again.
Exactly. All the cars would be gone. All the metal would be gone. All the railway stations. About all we'd have would be Fukushima would probably still be bubbling away. And we'd have Chernobyl. So a bit of radioactivity. There must have been a civilization here, you know. But so that's about the only legacy we've made. And yet these guys made stuff that's there for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. So we had some amazing technologies. And all we've got now is an economic system that we live in temporary accommodation. It's all based on supporting this economy. We have to have permanent growth in the economy.
Yeah.
The only way we can do that is make stuff that only is temporary. And we have to keep extracting resources out of the planet in order to build more stuff to keep feeding the economy. And the logical conclusion of this economic system is the destruction of all life and the depletion of all resources on this planet. So what's going on here?
Exactly.
The corporations have no desire to go out and take extra money from their funds and ensure that the planet is okay once they do what they do to it and rape it the way that they do. Mm-hmm. Because that costs extra money, so they just dump things here and there, radiation, whatever, and they don't care about it, and they just leave it up to the next people that come along because they're too interested in making money.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Well, see, this is post-humanism, you know, where we are now. You know, we've got people completely locked in false ego, instant gratification. Everything they do, it's about accumulating stuff because the one with the most wins. That's what life is about.
Exactly.
So this is human consciousness entering into the post-human era. We're actually already in the thick of the post-human era. We're right in there doing it right now. That's the basis of our society. And it's being done in order to support this system, which is it's a fictional system. It's just a meme. It's just an idea. Yeah, really, when you look at the system, it's just a meme. And we're trained to believe the meme is real. That's what I tried to present to people in the first half of the last film, Transformation.
Yep.
How we're trained to...
Oh, I love that film. That was an excellent film.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. But yeah, we're trained to have this perspective of consciousness and this perspective of creation, which simply is not real. And everything that we're taught we have to do is designed to feed this system and perpetuate this meme. All you really have to do to wake up to it is to step back and see it. And that's what I tried to do in the film. And the thing about the meme is that it's a psychopathic system. It was put in place by psychopaths.
Yeah.
And I very often said on the show, when you have a psychopathic system, when you have psychopaths who put a system in place, when you have psychopaths who are running corporations and countries, then their morality and their consciousness becomes the overall consciousness and morality of the people over which they preside,
yeah.
And it affects people's minds like a pathogen.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be aware of it.
That one guy that wants to, the transhumanism part, that wants to turn himself into partial computers and stuff like that, that to me is very creepy when you brought that subject up. Who's the guy that's ahead of that?
Well, there's a film called Transcendent Man, Ray Kurzweil, where he talks about infusing everything with nanotechnology and then sending nanotechnology infused with artificial intelligence out into the universe to harness everything that it comes across to improve our intelligence. This is the Borg. This is sending nanotechnology out into the universe to basically assimilate everything it comes across, not even knowing what's there, not even knowing what life forms are there and what damage you could do to an ecosystem. All they're thinking about doing is assimilating it and bringing it to us because we are the most important thing in the universe.
The Borg is the perfect description of that.
Well, it is. It's assimilating the universe with intelligent nanotechnology that will infect everything and modify the DNA of everything and bring it all back to us. And it's us assimilating the universe. See, this is a false consciousness. You know, they've removed us from the singularity that we belong to already, the singularity of universal creation. They've done this through chemical dumbing down of society. They've done this through GM food, through fluoride, through closing off our pineal gland, giving us all the education, the left brain perspective of reality, everything they've taken from the human experience. They've removed us from that connection to the divine that we all inherently have, and now they're offering us their digital clunky version that they get to control. And this is...
You know, they always think that they're smarter than nature. They think that in all of their infinite wisdom that they can go out there and they can start modifying the DNA of all these things like Monsanto and stuff like that, and that they can keep nature in balance. that's been working for millions and billions of years possibly, and they think they can come in with them the last 30 years or so, and all of a sudden that they're smarter than nature? It's amazing.
Well, it's about control, and it's about fear. See, they don't want, you know, you've got these certain minds that maneuvered themselves into place, like probably thousands of years ago, these bloodlines that came through that are financing all this stuff, and they're in a state of fear, and they have no empathy. They have no empathy whatsoever for the human race. I mean, it's like an ant farm to them.
Yeah.
You can't even say that what they're doing against us, they're doing maliciously. They don't even think that way.
No.
They consider us to be a subspecies. And they are in a vibration of fear, and they don't want anybody to be in a position that may one day threaten their control.
Exactly.
Because they believe that control, to have the ultimate control and to have be sure that no one can get you or hurt you in any way, and that you'll always be looked after. The only way you can do this is to control everybody and everything else. Okay? And that's the way they think. And so to them, it's, we won't be safe until we control the entire universe.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is we have to limit these people's knowledge of history, thereby limiting their knowledge of themselves. Then we can merge them into what we need to be able to control the rest of the universe. That's basically what they're doing in the way they think. But they don't do this, I don't believe they do this with conscious malice. It's just what they are. It's the way, it's the way human beings harvest cattle. They don't do that with malice. They just do it because they eat meat. You know, these people just think that way, and they have absolutely no empathy. And it's almost like there are two separate species of humanity on this planet. There is these bloodlines, these psychopathic bloodlines that do have no empathy, and then there's the rest of humanity. I mean, we couldn't possibly do the things that these people do. I couldn't order the carpet bombing of a country or deprive someone of medicine that could cure them and enslave them to a system of artificial death. I couldn't possibly do that.
No.
So,
now they have drones now, so that people don't actually have to be personally involved in the destruction of other of other pieces of humanity.
People,
so that they just have to be behind a computer, and so of course they take away that connection of feeling towards humanity and stuff like that. And it's amazing the way that they systematically find ways to do that, so that people are more and more disconnected from their humanity.
Well, absolutely. So they do that because it takes humanity out of the equation. It takes all conscience out of the equation. And it's interesting, like they build these systems. They use the military and the police to build these systems, and then they make the systems more efficient, and the guys in the military and the police lose their jobs, and then suddenly they're subject to the system that they built, you know? So humanity is expendable within the parameters of this system in every way, shape, or form. Yeah, and all the people that run this planet need is enough of humanity to be alive to ensure that the infrastructure functions smoothly. And once they've got the rest of the infrastructure in place, we'll see a massive depopulation. I mean, we're seeing it already.
Yeah.
We're seeing it through the GM food and through the chemtrails. I mean, everybody's got respiratory problems.
Yeah.
There's so many people that are not well. Yeah, and so we're seeing this happen now. But again, they've got people distracted from what's going on. Everyone's waiting for the financial crash that's going to happen, or the aliens are going to come, or there's going to be mass arrests, or the world's going to change in December, or whatever. No one's paying attention to what's actually going on now around them, and they're not applying themselves to reality. They're not applying themselves to the community.
Absolutely.
You know, I think we're in pretty dire straits, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
We have the opportunity to change it still, but it takes participation. It takes the participation of the people. Unfortunately, it will probably have to get a little bit worse yet, because there's still so many people asleep.
Yeah.
And it will have to get worse in order to wake them up. But I think we will get through it eventually. I think it's becoming too in your face for us not to get through it.
And I think that's probably why they are enacting all of the financial difficulties, because I was thinking to myself, about a week ago, that while we're all worried about paying our mortgage and putting food on the table, well, we're not really paying attention to anything else that's going on around us. And that's exactly what they want. So as you say, Max, we're too busy chasing our tails and being distracted by, trying to get more paper than somebody else. And while we're doing that, we're not paying attention to what's really going on. And that is that they're slowly clamping down on our freedoms. And it's not going to be until it affects each of us in a way that we can't ignore, that people are going to suddenly start waking up and saying, hang on a minute, this isn't what I signed up for. And, you know, I'm just hoping that it's not going to be too late, you know, and that our freedoms aren't that clamped down on, that we really don't have the ability to, you know, try and remove ourselves from the matrix that they've created.
Well, you know, it probably will end up getting that hard, but that will be when people stand up, probably.
Yeah.
But some people, it will take that much. Of course, you know, one of the most difficult things is waking the police up. But one of the most difficult things is the police force waking these guys up, because they're heavily programmed.
Exactly. And they've got families
and the military. The military guys, they need to be woken up too.
Yeah.
The problem is that we've got ourselves so overextended now. And with these people, for example, I think the United States, we're in over 900 countries, and we've got all these people out there that if they were to just wake up and say, no, I'm not going to do it anymore, they're still stuck in another country. You know, there's all these repercussions of what are they going to do now?
Yeah.
You know? And, but I think that they are waking up, and I think other people are waking up too, and I'm seeing it. And it's just the way I see that the universe tends to work. It doesn't do anything overnight. Nobody's on December 21st is going to float up in the air and have light beams come through them and ascend up into the sky.
Are you serious?
I know. It's not going to happen that way, actually. The universe tends to work a little bit more subtly, and I do see people are waking up, and we just got to keep pushing and keep spreading the truth like you are out there, Max. Guys, if you're not familiar with Max, please go visit his YouTube channel at AOD Scarecrow. And also his website at crowhouse.com. Is that correct, Max?
Yeah, thecrowhouse.com, yeah.
Thecrowhouse.com.
I have to say that I really recommend Max's material for waking up family and friends, because he has a very gentle and evenly tempered way, coming from someone like me that drops F-bombs every second word when they piss me off. But I just love listening to you, Max, because you put the insight across to people in a way that anyone can understand it. You're not directing blame on anybody. You're not telling anybody what to believe. You're just saying, this is what's happening, guys, and if we don't start coming together as a people, then things are going to get a lot worse. And I think if anyone, because I often get people say to me, oh, you know, I'm trying to share information with my family, but they think I'm crazy, they think I'm a freak. Well, I would suggest Max's videos, because they are perfect for waking people up that have not been exposed to any of this information. And it's very concise, and he puts it in a way that even they will you know, understand.
Well, thank you for that. I think it's important not to over-intellectualize the information, and I think it's very important that if you're presenting this type of information to people, that you're at least offering suggestions for solutions, because if you're not providing the solution, then you're really part of the problem. You're just putting people in fear, and they go into fear and they withdraw. And they I don't even want to know about that. God, my life was happy before. You've got to be empowering people and showing them there is a solution, but it requires their participation. You know, the world has a serious problem. Everybody's in hardship. Everybody's running on the treadmill faster and faster, and they do that. They raise the prices to get you running faster and faster.
Exactly.
The more they bring the system in around you. And, you know, it's getting to a stage where it's so in your face now that you can't help but notice it. And I think it's really important as well that people start understanding that what we're facing here is a breach of trust. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, trust law is an important thing for people to be aware of. And trust law is very simple. If you look at fiduciary trust law, it's incredibly simple. It's the same as if you hire a lawnmower to mow your lawn. You entrust him that he's going to mow your lawn properly and not cut your rose bushes down, you know? So you pay him, and that's a trust agreement. It's a guy, you get a mechanic to come and fix your car. That's a trust agreement. You can't fix your car, but he can, and you trust that he's going to be honest. He's only going to replace that which he needs to replace. He's going to do the right thing by you. It's just a fiduciary trust agreement. We don't know how to run a country, so we're forced to operate within this economic model, so we employ the governments to run the country for us.
Yes.
This is a fiduciary trust. So if you are in a state of hardship in your country, then the government's in breach of trust. If anybody in your country is in a state of hardship in order to support an economic model, then the economic model's flawed and the government's in breach of trust. It's really that simple.
Yeah.
It's incredibly simple. But we're trained to believe that the governments are these all-powerful, all-amazing beings, and they're untouchable, and they're incredibly... They're not. They're just people in expensive suits that we employ to do exactly the opposite of what they're doing because they're in breach of trust. And if you're going to go down that road and attempt to do something about this problem, you can't do it by petitioning these people. You can't do it by requesting that they do things. What you've got to do is you've got to hold them in breach of trust. You've got to realize what your relationship with government is. And even in their statutes, if you breach one of their statutes, you park somewhere that they tell you you can't park, and they give you a fine for it, or they put you in jail for it, well, they're the ones who've broken the law, because in a breach of a law, there's an injured party. And in the breach of a statute, there's no injured party until someone is prosecuted. Then there's an injured party, you. So the one who's broken the law is the government. But we don't look at it that way, because we don't look at it from a perspective of trust. It's all got to come back to trust. See, we're trained not to think this way. But that's what your relationship with government is. These are just people. They're just people, the same as anybody else. Why would you perceive these people to be of any more worth than you? Because you are valuable. You are just as valuable as everybody else. Every person is valuable. Every person is perfect. They're all perfect being themselves. Why would they conceive themselves not to be? That's a thing that I say to people as well. I mean, why would you consider yourself to be anything but perfect when no one can be you better than you can? And you is what you came here to experience, obviously, because you're you, and that's what you're experiencing. So obviously that's what you're here to do, but you're missing out on that. Because you're measuring yourself up to all these yardsticks, and you're perceiving yourself to not be perfect because the system tells you you're not, because you don't look this way or dress this way or think this way.
Yeah.
A breach of trust
is an understatement, because we hire all these guys in Congress to go out there and write the laws for us, and then they sneak in laws here and there, just like we have SOPA. CISPA, now we have IPAA, and so they find different ways to sneak all the laws, and then they tell us after the fact on Fox News and things like that, that, oh, by the way, a new law was passed, and now you can't do this, that, or the other. And people don't pay attention to what's going on in Congress right now, and there's really no avenue to do anything about it, except for just not to participate. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, but of course the catchy part about all this is that obviously you have to find a way to not participate in the system so that you still protect yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't just all of a sudden go out one day and say we're not going to do anything the system wants us to because we're not going to participate, and then of course we end up in jail, and then of course we lose the potential of trying to help everybody because now we're in jail and we can't do anything about it.
Exactly.
So we have to find interesting ways to not comply with the system so that we're beneficial and we can keep pushing that kind of thing for other people.
Absolutely. Well, look, one of the parameters that holds the system together is fear-based mind control. You know, that's the basis of the whole system of commerce, is fear-based mind control. So there's your clue right then. You've got to remove fear. So therefore, the best form of non-compliance is love and connection with your community around you, because once you have that connection, you have the strength of numbers. And people start beginning to realize what this arrangement between yourself and government is, which is fiduciary trust. And you've got this united community because you've been leading by example in everything that you do, and you've broken down these barriers. You've seen the people around you as valid as yourself. So that's where it all lies. It's got to come back to self-empowerment. It's got to come back to the individual changing their perspective of what reality is, what their position in reality is, and what the position of the other people is. And it all comes down to mutual respect and self-empowerment. I mean, that's why I keep saying the real change has got to come from within. It's all within you. That's where salvation lies. Once you can change your perspective of reality, this was the first thing I said, one of the first things I had on the screen in the last film. What if you could change the world by changing your perspective of it?
Yes.
You know, that's where the key lies.
That's one of the core beliefs. That's one of the core beliefs that's taught to us, is that we don't change stuff. God changes stuff.
Exactly.
And so we have to depend on some other being in order to do things for us rather than self-empowerment. And, of course, a lot of these people have been so heavily programmed into believing that self-empowerment means Lucifer and all this other stuff, that they have been programmed to believe that we have to wait for some other savior in order to do things for us. And what a lot of people don't realize is that when your parents, when you were growing up, at least if you grew up in a good family, when you failed, your parents didn't pick you up every time. If they picked you up every time, you wouldn't learn anything. What you have to learn is that over time it has to do with self-empowerment. If you fail, you pick yourself up, and you try again,
And you can't just wait for somebody else out there to save you every time.
Exactly. Exactly. See, people are always taught to look for salvation from an external source. And yeah, in any religion, I mean, look at the path of the person that your religion pertains to revere. Look at the path of Christ. You know, wonderful teaching. He's a wonderful person. Do what that guy did. Forget about all the other stuff. Don't worry about what the church says you need to do or any of that sort of stuff. Don't worry about what the religious restraints put upon you are. Walk the path that he walked, and you'll change the world. I don't know one Christian that walks the path of Christ.
No, exactly.
So what's the religion all about? Christ, teachings of Christ were wonderful. It's just that Christianity has got nothing to do with them.
No, exactly. You know?
I don't see why we need any religion at all. All you need to do is to know who and what you are and know the power that exists within you. Know the power you have to affect positive change. If you treat people with respect, I mean, I finish every show with In La Cache. Every other person that I come in contact with, I perceive to be myself. And when I see that person, I desire to leave them better because of the experience. I'd like to improve reality by my presence in it. I'd like to improve their reality because they have come into contact with me. And that's the way I treat every single person that I come across. And I think that's really important.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand, too, about, you know, that if people will look at another person and see themselves, then it also helps those people to live in their little bubble reality of love and light, because they realize if they see the other person over there, you know, that it's not about I'm going to ignore this person because I need to live in my own little high vibration bubble of love and light. No, I'm going to deal with that situation over there because that situation is part of me, and we're going to raise that up just like everybody else.
Yeah.
No, but the way you deal with it is love. See, that's where non-compliance comes from. You've got to be in love, and the only way you're going to be in love is to remove the fear from your life. You know, why wouldn't you want to help another person? What, because you're in fear of them or what they look like or what they might think or because they have a completely different perspective to you? Even if the perspective they have of reality is completely wrong, it's still valid because it's based on whatever their life experience has been to that point. All the influences they've had that have caused them to think that way. How can you get them to shift that paradigm? Well, you lead by example in all that you do, and you love them. You offer them that support. It doesn't matter what they did. None of that matters. People do what they've been trained to do. And when you get human consciousness and you pollute it and you brutalize it and you shatter it and you lock it in this little box and you tell it up is down and black is white, what do you expect people to be like?
Yeah.
You can't judge these people and blame these people for having the perspective that they have. What you have to do is show them a better way. And that's the key to it all. So it always comes back to self-empowerment. It comes back to the individual knowing who and what they are, standing in their flesh, realizing that all of these problems are a breach of trust and we can fix it once we have this respect for each other in this united community. You know, if everyone started respecting each other, just suddenly thought this way and started teaching this stuff and treating the people around them in La Cache exactly as themselves and seeing them all as valid, the world would simply change in 3 seconds. It'd be all over in 3 seconds if the human experience, the collective human consciousness, simply changed its perspective of reality.
And it's not like we've not done it.
And you know what? One thing that's important about knowing who we are and is knowing our past. And a lot of people, when they don't know who they are, in other words, one of the things, and I've said this before, my research goes into this, is it's very important for me to know who I am. But what does that mean? And that means to know a little bit more about our history, and that doesn't mean to stay in the box of what your particular sector or your country or your religion, but it means to go all around the place and find out what's the past associated with everybody, because then you can start taking all of that data and you can start bouncing it off each other, and you can find where the confirmations are, where the contradictions are, and those things that they've hidden in our past, start coming to the surface, stuff that I've found out more and more about us, and it really is, when you start getting to the truth, it has a lot to do with ourselves, self-empowerment, and this is a lot of the things that they've taken away from us. All you have to do is just look all around at the different cultures and look at all the data with an open mind, and you start really finding out who you really are.
You start seeing a pattern, Danny, too, that we really aren't that different. Even the different cultures, you know, when you start, you know, looking at everything side by side, you start seeing that we really are, at the core of it, the same. And we really all just want the same thing. And I believe that we are coming towards a time of higher consciousness. This is why we're seeing people becoming more aware. And I think that this happened in the past as well. And so maybe this is some of the reason that they have to clamp down, you know, a little bit harder on us and start taking away, you know, access to the internet because they do realize we are waking up. We are understanding that reality isn't what they have created. It is something different, and we're starting to perceive this differently. So, you know, I think it's when people start realizing that we have to join together and we have to come from a place of strength together, then we will make change. But while we constantly live in fear, and, you know, fear separates us from our consciousness, and this is why they feed us. Fear, fear, fear. I mean, you know, look at TV every night. You've got how many cop shows on TV? And it's all about, you know, someone being murdered, someone being sexually abused, you know, and it makes people think that that's what reality is. And reality isn't that. I mean,
well, they actually get excited about it now when it comes on. It's like, oh, the new Cops episode's going to come on, and I get to see this next person get beat up. Or
I hate that.
You know, I get to watch the next show about how this person has all these problems, this, that, and the other.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's all about drama, and they get excited about it. And it's just, I stopped watching TV about a year and a half.
You know what it's also about, Danny? These reality shows where they bring out these poor, tragic, you know, train wrecks, you know, and I know that there was one over on the US about a single mother and, you know, all of her problems with the baby father and, you know, all of this really horrible stuff that people are dealing with in their lives and, you know, how, you know, they're having difficulties. Well, the reason they bring these out is so other people can say, well, that's not me, poor girl. You know, I'll have a look at her life.
And they never say, okay, well, Here's how they solved this problem.
Yeah.
Here's how we solved the problem. It's just, here's the drama, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And people get to look at it and say, well, I'm better than her. Thank God, I'm not going through that. You know, I'll watch it, though, and I'll watch the poor thing, and I'll discuss her with my friends, but, you know, I'm doing okay because I'm not as bad as her. And once again, they're promoting separation. They're promoting division. You know, and I don't know why, it just seems more exciting to people. Perhaps it's
people are living through the movie stars too, and then we have all this you know, to do about the Queen doing this and the Queen doing that, which makes me want to barf. But
yeah, I know.
Well, see, people live their lives; they live other people's lives. See, television and entertainment and movies, it provides an emotional outlet to so people can have that emotional experience and they can feel that they've done something.
Yeah.
You go to watch a movie where there's a hero who vanquishes the bad guy. At the end of the movie, you feel all confident and like you've actually done something. But there's still evil in the world. You didn't do anything about it, but you went through that emotional rollercoaster ride with the guy in the movie. So
that's
satisfied your need for emancipation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that inner need that you have. And then you go home, and because you're not living any life, you're just sitting there in a little box staring at a tube in the corner. Well, the person on the tube lives a life, and that's the life that you're living.
I think that's the next step. Then we have our voting system, right? And everybody thinks they go out there and that they vote, and they think that they've done their share, and they can go home and go back to their own little life. They don't realize the whole voting system is a scam. I mean, you don't put gas in a car with an engine that's broken, do you?
it's all the same thing.
You know, I just don't understand these people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, with entertainment and television, they're living someone else's life. And with voting, they gives them the illusion of choice, like they're participating in the system. But it's the same with things like protests. People go out and have a mass protest. Let's go and have a mass rally. 6,000 people march down the street and protest coal seam gas mining. At the end of the day, these people actually think that they've done something. But they haven't.
Yeah.
It satisfied their need to do something. Okay, I went out there and I shook my fist.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home, I'm going to watch television, and nothing's going to stop. Nothing changed because I didn't actually address the root of the problem. The root of the problem is breach of trust. But you didn't empower the community. You didn't empower your neighbors. You went out and shook your fist at the world one day and felt that you'd done something.
Exactly.
You know? Uh-huh. And so people have to change their paradigm. And like what you mentioned before about having our past taken from us, this is an incredibly important issue because, like I said earlier, it's what's disempowered people. I wrote a book in 2005 I put on the website called Earth's Forbidden Secrets. I present in that book just some of the anomalies that exist around the planet to just attempt to say to people, hey, look, everything they've told you about history is wrong. It's all a lie. And not only that, there's all this evidence lying all over the planet which proves it. So if they haven't told you the truth about the past, the question is why? And what makes you think they're telling you the truth about the present or even about the future? What makes you think these people are telling you the truth about anything? What makes you think your education system is educating you? When's the last time you actually stood up and stepped back and looked at the world and looked at yourself and looked at your position in the world. I think that's very important that people do that. And I really, really believe that the power of community will overcome all.
Yeah.
If we can overcome the fear within ourselves that keeps us divided from the people around us.
Yeah,
that's the clue. That's the key to the whole thing. And even with the system of commerce that's been imposed on everyone, see, this has taken people's ability to give away from them. You can't give to people anymore because you need money. You need paper.
Yeah.
So you've got to collect paper from people. It puts everyone in a state of scarcity, and people sell their wares. You know, you sell information. People have asked me if I would do talks and stuff and then sell tickets, and I say, well, I'll do talks, but I won't sell the tickets. If people come to the talk and they feel like they got something from the talk, fine, they can leave a donation at the door on the way out.
Yeah.
But if I sell them the information, not only am I indulging in commerce and I'm selling empowerment to people,
yeah,
which doesn't work to me, I'm also depriving them of the ability to give in return for what they
exactly
just received. So, and I have the confidence that people will give, you know, if they're given the opportunity to. It may take them a while. There'll be some that won't give, but, you know, they'll learn. And I really believe we need this giving back,
yes,
in our community. And the only way we're going to have it is through mutual respect and by seeing other people as valid. You know, we've all got our unique perspective of reality, and we've got to understand that everybody else has their unique perspective of reality, and they are just as valuable and just as important as us.
Exactly. And, you know, Max, a lot of people feel very, you know, helpless, and they don't really know where their power lies. And I always say that, you know, anything that you can do to help someone else is making a difference. So if you can wake someone else up and, you know, of course, there are people that are not ready to hear this information, and some don't want to process this information. As you say, Max, they're happy to just come home from work and turn on the box and just, you know, consume what's given to them. But there are other people that are starting to question. And, you know, if everybody out there just, you know, tried to wake somebody up, you know, once a week or once a fortnight, just did something to, you know, post it on their Facebook or to talk to their family and friends in a way that, and share information that might empower them, then that is something, because that's helping, you know, us expand the amount of people that are consciously aware. And I believe that when we get to a certain number of people, we hit critical mass. And once we hit critical mass, then things start accelerating even quicker, and then more people start understanding that reality is not what we've been led to believe. And I think that is where the power is going to start coming, when all of us start voicing our concern instead of just 6,000. And as you say, Max, I so agree with you. You know, you see these people and they've got their heart in the right place and they're out there protesting. Quite often the media paints them as just troublemakers and rebels. And so it really works against them in that instance as well, in the way the media portrays them. So,
well, it does. See, people want to do something. They got their heart in the right spot and they want to do something, but they just don't know what to do because they're trained to think within these legal parameters. They're not looking at it from the perspective of trust. So that's where the remedy lies. It lies in trust.
Yeah.
It lies in people understanding what their relationship with government is. And I've said this ad nauseum. You know, I repeat this, you know, a million times to people, you know, but that's where the remedy lies. It's in knowing who and what you are and what your relationship with government is. Until people know that, then they're never going to get anywhere. And they're not going to have a lot of success waking people up around them until they have fully woken themselves up to this.
Exactly.
You know, and they've got to accept themselves. Self-awareness and self-acceptance is so important. It's so powerful. You know, to be aware of who and what you are and have complete acceptance for the beauty of your being. No matter what you look like or what position of life you're in, you are perfect because no one can be you better than you. And that's what you came here for. It's just having that understanding can change your whole perspective of life. And you can stand in that and be proud and be respectful of others. That's how we change the world, you know. It really is. And once you have this understanding about yourself, then you can lead by example and show other people that there's a better way. Don't scream fear at them. Just state the obvious. So that's why people resonate with the show so much, because all I'm doing is stating the obvious.
Yeah.
It's just completely obvious, everything I'm saying. And if you think I'm wrong, well, hey, come on, let's have a debate about it. Let's talk about why am I wrong? Where is this wrong? You know? because
and you know what, I think the probably the most frustrating thing I see, and I know you've mentioned it, is that people wake up and then they gravitate to the Illuminati stuff or, you know, this Galactic Federation stuff. So, you know, if they're waking up and then they're sharing that information with family and friends, trying to, you know, help people, you know, wake up, well, then really it's part of the problem. You know, you don't want to be gravitating to all of this Illuminati stuff and all of this, you know, mass arrests and Galactic Federation of Light. You know, that's not where the truth lies. That's just more
traps. Those are just traps and pitfalls. Those are just traps and pitfalls to get people to fall into a tangent. You know, I mean, I think those are going to be expected to be there. And then I think after a while, just like there was a point in time a long time ago where I listened to that stuff just to get a perspective. But I learned over time that after a while, that stuff was meaningless, or it had its place. But I realized that, you know, I think everybody has to go through a growth when they start waking up. And they start after a while learning that some of these things are traps and pitfalls. You know, unfortunately, some people don't.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's all a process.
You know, the whole Illuminati thing, I mean, sure, there is a ruling elite, and it's interesting to know it has its place knowing that information, but don't depend on it to save you.
Exactly.
You know, and don't depend on mass arrest or anything like that. I mean, people go into fear. They see this information, and then you have people out there saying, look, it's okay, it's too big for you to deal with, but you are going to be saved. The aliens are coming, the Palladians are coming, the Galactic Federation of Light's coming, or there's going to be mass arrests, or something's going to happen, and you're going to be saved. You don't have to do anything. It's not about self-empowerment. It's not about seeing the breach of trust that's occurring, which is the reason for all these problems. It's not about seeing that your life has been turned into commerce. It's about knowing that you're going to be saved. Yes, yes, it's all very terrible, but you will be saved.
Yes.
You know, it's completely disempowering. And people go there because they're in fear. They sit there in this bubble of love and light and think, I'm love and light, love and light, love and light. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be saved. And I'm not going to look at anything in the outside world because I'm going to be saved. To me, that is a state of complete and utter fear.
Yes,
that's where these people are. And there's certain people that go out there and they give a very empowering, very highly spiritual message to people, but it has this underlying tone of fear. You are going to be saved, you know? And people just aren't realizing it because they're seeing the situation as desperate and they don't see an out. They don't see a way out of the situation that we're in, and they think that if the aliens don't come and save us, we're doomed. We're never going to get there. You know, so they're not seeing that what they need to do is understand that like I said a million times, the relationship between yourself and government is trust. Yeah. That's what they need to do. And the way to fix the problem is self-responsibility. They don't want that. They do not want to be responsible for themselves. They don't want to actually have to act. They don't want to have to face their neighbors and tell them about this stuff. They prefer to go to their little meetings and their little clubs, stay within their little circle of friends and not rock the boat because everyone will think we're nuts. So they police themselves. They police themselves in what they say to people because they're afraid of peer group pressure, what the ladies at the PTA might think if I start talking about government corruption, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So
Once again, conditioning, isn't it?
Well, it is, and we're trained to be this way. So, again, you can't blame these people. What you've got to do is you've got to lead by example. Lead by example in all that you do. Be a pleasure to be around, and be the most wonderful person that you can. Always follow your path of Dharma. Do the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reason. Always operate within the one law of creation, which is service to creation, and lead by example in all that you do.
Yeah.
People will soon be attracted to you, and they will want to know what gives you your perspective, what makes you this happy, empowered, positive person. How come you're never in fear of anything? You're never in stress for anything. And then you start sharing information with them. I mean, I honestly don't know the last time I had a bad day. I cannot remember the last time I was in a bad mood. I might raise my voice sometimes. I might get a little bit frustrated sometimes. But I honestly do not remember the last time I had a bad day.
Yep.
Because
I've never heard you raise your voice.
Not me either.
Every moment of creation is so fascinating to me. It's all so fascinating. Just walking outside and seeing the grass and the sky and the birds and the trees, fascinating.
It's
incredible. The whole thing is incredible. And I honestly cannot remember the last time I had a bad day. And even with the situation that we're facing, if it all turns to, if it all goes pear-shaped and the whole program runs out and humankind gets exterminated from existence through its own actions, I don't really have any stake in that outcome. That's okay if that's the way it's going to happen because consciousness will simply create something else. This experiment didn't work, it'll do something else.
Yes.
But I think we have an incredible potential to be something amazing. And I think we're being presented with incredible opportunities to do so. And that's why I see all of these problems as opportunities.
Yes.
I think this is the first time we've ever actually had the system laid so bare that we've actually had the opportunity to step into our own power.
Yes.
In the first time in human experience where we've actually had the opportunity to be truly free, because now we can see how reality works. A lot of us are, and becoming more so, the collective human consciousness is becoming spiritually evolved enough to actually understand what freedom is, that it's more than freedom of choice. Freedom really is self-awareness and self-responsibility. That's what true freedom is.
Absolutely.
I think that's part of what the universe does in a way, though, is it puts us through this craft that we learn what freedom really is and we learn what it's really like to be a human. If it
oh, absolutely.
Didn't put us through this kind of test, then we would never learn.
We'd never
absolutely.
Grow.
Absolutely. You have to do this. I mean, you can't force human consciousness to become conscious. It's got to be a gradual process. And even when you're giving information to people, you can't tell them what's going on. They have to realize what's going on. You've got to give them
yes.
enough information to help them realize that the world is not the way they thought it
yes.
was, because that's where true knowledge comes. It comes from self-realization. True knowledge cannot be told. It must be realized.
Yes.
And so that's what's happening with the whole human consciousness. It's becoming self-aware. It's finally becoming self-aware.
Yes.
And of course, we need this negativity to happen to do that. But again, people say that and say, "Oh, what's the point of me doing anything about the negativity then?" Well, now you know you've got to participate. It requires
exactly.
your participation. That's why you became aware of it. Now you've just got to know how to participate, and the way to participate is to realize who and what you are. It all comes back to that, you know.
Absolutely. Finding our own power, and, well, not even finding our own power, remembering our own power, because we've always had it, but we've just forgotten, and it's been bred out of us, basically, and we've been conditioned to believe we're limited. Yeah?
Dee, would you mind if we took, like, a three-minute break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Be okay?
Yeah, that's fine. We can do that. All right. Hang on. Now I'm going to have to get technical. You know what that does, Danny. That causes things to happen. All right, guys. Let's take a break, and I'll play a bit of a tune. Okay. Welcome back, guys. What I wanted to actually talk to you about, Max, was the situation in Australia at the moment with gas fracking. And, you know, some of the worries that the farmers are having and the people are especially in Western Queensland, are having in regards to the poisons and toxins that they are using actually getting into the water table. And we have something over here called the Great Artesian Basin. And this is a lifeline to most of these towns out in Western Queensland. So once that water is poisoned, well, you know, we can kiss goodbye to all of that farming land and most of those communities. Have you got any updates in regards to what's going on with that, Max?
Well, it's just going forward. I mean, they're not stopping at all. They're not holding
no.
up at all. There's certain little towns here and there having successes saying, yes, yes, we've kicked them out of our region. We're not having them in our region. But that's kind of irrelevant. That's protecting your own habitat, and that's all very well.
Yeah.
But like you say, it's all to do with the Great Artesian Basin. See, all the aquifers are linked. All the water courses are all linked together. So once you start putting pollution into groundwater, if you put enough in there, eventually it spreads and it'll take over the whole country. The thing is with coal seam gas mining is it's being presented to us as, you know, great for the economy. Again, it's always the economy.
Money.
Supporting the economic model, which is fiction. It only exists on paper. You can't eat it.
Yeah.
You can't drink coal seam gas. You can't eat money. So it's kind of irrelevant, really. The most valuable resource this planet has is water. And that's what's happening, is the water is being polluted by coal seam gas mining. If people think it's not, well, I would suggest that they need to show us the results of the detailed studies they've done that proves that claim. Because I will claim that it does simply because I have common sense.
Yeah.
And because of the results that we're seeing all around the planet. But really what you've got to look at is what's the purpose of it? Well, okay, they're saying it's being done to because it's good for the economy, number one, but also to meet our energy needs. But we don't need coal seam gas to meet our energy needs. We don't need gas. We don't need coal-fired power stations. We don't need any of that stuff. There's been a myriad of free energy devices that have been suppressed, even in the latest film I showed, Talk from TED Talks, which is mainstream. Justin Hall Tipping talking about a device that he can make from carbon, just a film you stick on your window, get all the energy you want from it, you know, because of the way it can be used to harvest electrons from light, just light, ambient light. So this is amazing. This is the technology that we have right now that is available to us should we choose to go down those avenues. But we don't, again, because of this commercial system. It's all about commerce. That's why free energy devices have been... Yeah, so that's why free energy devices have been suppressed. So, again, we don't need coal seam gas for energy. That's the crux of what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
They're telling us they're harvesting it to meet our energy needs, but we don't need it to meet our energy needs, and they know this. I mean, if I know about free energy devices, then they know about free energy devices. So you've got to, again, step back and say, well, okay, it can't just be to support the economic model because the economic model's fiction, and they also know this. So what is the real reason for them to be carrying out coal seam gas mining? Well, what is the one guaranteed result based on what we are seeing around the world? Well, that is the destruction of groundwater. So that's the purpose of coal seam gas mining. Yeah. That's why they're doing it. And that's why they're not letting up. That's why it doesn't matter about the protests. It doesn't matter what anybody says. They're going to keep doing this because they want to destroy groundwater because it's a way of moving people into concentrated pockets of
situation.
Yep. Agenda 21 gets people all out of the area. See, they're basically turning Australia into an open-cut mine.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. So you've really got to look at all of these things. Even with Fukushima, you look at Fukushima, what's the purpose of that? Well, what's it doing? It's irradiating the planet. Fits in very well with the whole transhumanist agenda.
Yeah. You know?
And you've got this power plant that was built on a fault line 50 metres from the ocean. It's an accident waiting to happen. And now that it's happening, it's been going, it's 10 times worse than Chernobyl. And it's been going since, what, March last year?
Yeah.
It's been going for like 15.
They want to put up more. They want to put up more now, I heard.
Yeah, well, it's been going since, you know, for like, you know, nearly a year and a half now. And it's just pouring pollutants into the air and into the water. So that's why it's been done. It's been done to irradiate the oceans and to pollute the planet the way it's going. So that's the purpose of coal seam gas mining. That's what's happening here in Australia. See, people really need to step back and look at it and say, what's the benefits of this, you know? Because, again, it all comes down to, you know, what the government knows and what the government doesn't know. And the government knows that we do not need this to support our energy needs. So See, that's why it's important for people to look at all of these things.
Yeah, surely these crazy corporations have to know that once all this destruction is done, it's part of the world that they live on as well. They're going to have to deal with the effects of it also. They can't escape it.
Well, that's the thing.
Surely they must say at some point that they're just destroying themselves.
Well, they do, but it's short-term thinking because they're not going to be here. You know, the heads of these corporations, they don't care because they're not going to be here. It's all about the bottom line. And again, they only really look at the company on paper. They don't really pay attention to what it's doing. They just hear there might be a bit of a problem with a native somewhere. Oh, well, we'll put in a compensation package and we'll work it out with using commerce. We'll work it out using commerce. It's all good as long as the company's good. Look at the shareholdings. I mean, what could we possibly do wrong here, you know? So they think about it in a compartmentalized way. And, of course, the corporation won't ever think anything about it because the corporation's a dead entity. And what is a corporation? A corporation is an organization created by a group of sociopaths so they can behave sociopathically and not be accountable for their actions. And so, again, you've got these sociopathic people and psychopathic people who have no empathy who get into positions of control in these situations because the psychopaths will always maneuver themselves into a position of control.
I wouldn't
even want to run a company and be in control of other people. If I was running a company, I'd be interested in maybe making a living for myself, but I want everybody that was working within me to the company to be like a shareholder and getting the same as what I'm getting. I'd like it to benefit everybody who worked within the company. But you get people who form these corporations, they don't think that way. It's all about them. They don't care. They'll get the cheapest labor they can and they'll produce the most substandard product that they can get away with in order to maximize profits. That's pathological thinking. That's psychopathic thinking. And these are the sort of people who maneuver themselves into positions in companies. And a psychopath will always recognize another psychopath. So you get a guy, a CEO of a company, and he's got psychopathic tendencies. He'll recognize people within his staff who are psychopathic
yeah.
and promote them to positions of authority because he knows I'll get the job done. You know, and yeah. that's just the way they think. See, this is one of the things that happened to our society, I believe, way back in the cataclysm, about 11,500 years ago. We lost a lot of our shaman. And so yeah. we lost the ability to weed these psychopaths out of our society. And the psychopaths have basically will always maneuver themselves in positions of control, and that's what they've done. And that's why we then had this system go out and destroy all of these shamanistic cultures or yeah. planets. There's a wonderful book, actually, called Political Ponerology by a man called Andrzej Lobachevsky. And it talks about ponerology, which is a study of evil. And it talks about the study of evil looked at from a political perspective as applied to the world today. This book was written 50 years ago. The manuscript was lost or stolen or strayed twice. And then it was suppressed. Its release was suppressed by Brzezinski for 20 years.
Wow.
Can you say that book over again, Max? I think you cut out when you said the name of the book.
Okay, yeah, and it could almost be used as a textbook for psychologists to be able to study this topic from. It's called Political Ponerology.
Ponerology.
Okay.
Ponerology, yeah, Political Ponerology. I highly recommend reading this book because even if you could give this to someone who's quite asleep, really, give them this book to read, and if they've got any type of intelligence, and it's heavy reading, you know, it's not exactly light reading, this book. It's written by a psychologist, but it explains how this pathogen affects society, the pathogen of psychopathic thinking that is a product of the psychopathic control that is over society, because all of these systems behave psychopathically, every single one of them. If you look at a film called The Corporation, it actually goes through and it does a psychopath's chart. And it looks at a corporation and it ticks the boxes that would show whether this entity is a psychopath. And corporations are actually designed to be psychopaths. You've got an organization which is given all the rights of a human being but none of the liability of a human being.
Yeah.
It behaves in a psychopathic manner at the expense of humanity. See, that's the thing.
Really interesting. You put a video back. It's a while back. It was about corporatism. And that video is, you cannot view it in the America for whatever reason. It won't let you view it.
In America?
I think it's really interesting. Yep.
Well, see, that's what we're facing. So that's what the New World Order is. It's corporatism. That's basically what it is. So you've got essentially a global corporation being formed. And a corporation will always work to make itself more efficient. That's its purpose in life. That's why it exists. And once you've got a corporation that's monopolized a certain product or a certain area, then what else can it do to make itself more efficient? All it can do is lower the product, you know, lower the quality of the product,
yeah.
and maximize profits. So when you see the corporate interest involved in organizations such as Monsanto and the FDA and Big Pharma. You see the conflict of interest all going through there, and you can see why they're feeding everybody substandard food in order to get them indoctrinated and involved in the pharmaceutical industry, dependent
yeah.
on the pharmaceutical industry. And all the pharmaceutical industry does is sell them sickness so they need more drugs. So they turn the whole human experience into this big conveyor belt of profit for themselves. And the more that becomes one entity and one corporation, then the more efficient it'll become, the more sicker people will get, the more money will be made. And when you see that you got a corporation in control of the pharmaceutical industry, you got one in control of the money system, you got another one in control of the food industry, and you get these things get fatter and fatter and fatter, and eventually they merge. You know, you got another one in control of the fuel industry. You know, all
yeah.
these corporations, because of corporate takeovers and the way they all merge with each other, and you start off with 100 corporations selling a product and it ends up being one.
Yeah.
Then that merges with something else, and then you got this merging with that, and what you end up with is a global corporation which has humanity as the most expendable thing within its parameters. And yet humanity apparently created this system to service our needs. But you know,
I can't believe that people, even if you're a good business person, if you have good business sense, it should be easy to see that why would the pharmaceutical company, for example, sell anything that's a cure for anything? It's bad business.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It's about selling sickness. It's about selling drugs. It's not about making you healthy. And that's, so that's, but when all of these corporations get combined, you know, they all merge with each other, that's your new world order. That's what it is. It's corporatism. That's what we're facing. You know, and it's all held together by legislation that, that politicians claim to be law. They say, oh, look, there's been a new law brought in. A new law. Is it a new law? Is it really a law? Really? Has it fit in with the parameters of law? Is it an actual law or is it written as a statute regulation? Because if it's a statute regulation, it's not law, it's legislation. Big difference. You know? Big difference.
I was going to say, it's interesting too that you mentioned in your video series that, you know, you don't have a food administration and a drug administration. It's actually the Food and Drug Administration. So they've actually now joined and merged food and drugs in the one administration. I mean, that in itself is telling us something.
Oh, absolutely. They've got to make sure the food is substandard enough for you to need the drugs. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
Not good business.
Oh,
absolutely.
Very true.
Absolutely. That's a great example, you know, of how this is all a corporate merger. And all these things operate like corporations. Your country operates like corporations.
Yeah.
And then they make you operate like a corporation by giving you the license and the capital letters and all that crap that they put you through.
Yeah.
Everything is corporate. So when you can see that, that everything is operating like a corporation, and then you go and watch something like that film called The Corporation, and you see that the bottom line of a corporation is that it's a psychopathic entity. So there you've got a psychopathic society, and you've got all the people within the society thinking pathologically because they don't know they're trained to do it. They don't know it's a psychopathic society. They're not aware that this pathogen exists in their mind. They think they are doing the right thing. They're being successful if they adhere to all these company rules.
Yeah.
And all of these company rules are designed to enforce the economic model and make humanity expendable.
Yeah.
And people are trained to do this. They're trained to support their company over the people. It's all about efficiency. Put the rent up. I'm getting more money now, so therefore I'm more successful.
Yeah.
So I've got more stuff than you. So I'll look down on you. I don't care about you.
Exactly.
If you didn't make it, well, that's because you didn't make it. You just don't think properly. You're not as intelligent as I am. You're not as good as I am because I've got more stuff than you to prove it. Because
Absolutely.
I behaved more pathologically. They don't even think that way. That's why they got more stuff. Because they behave pathologically in their life, because they were trained to believe that that's what success is.
Yeah, and I suppose that's why the most successful people are often, you know, some of the people that you probably wouldn't call the most positive human beings, you know, they do tend to have that mindset, what you're talking about. And, you know, I suppose when I was younger and I was, you know, starting out in the workforce and I was very starry-eyed and was told by my parents, you know, work hard and that will be recognized and you will, you know, then be promoted. Well, it took me about 10 years to realize that that's not how it works. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know, because they pick out the psychopaths, as you said. You know, they're not going to pick the person that's a hard worker and is nice to everybody and wants everyone to do well. They're going to pick out the person to promote that has no problem sacking somebody, has no problem with, you know, feeling any, you know, lacking empathy or, you know, conscience. You know, they don't want people that are nice people, you know, high up in the ranks of corporations. They want people that can just, you know, wield the sword and do what they have to do and not even think twice about it.
They want someone with a face that appeals to people, who can shake you with both hands with a big smile on his face and steal everything he can from you. They want someone who has ruthless business sense, who looks the right way. That's the way it works in the business world.
Exactly. Yeah, I found that out pretty quick. So, you know, yeah, anybody that's out there thinking that they can just work, and one day someone's going to notice, you know, how well you're working. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen every time in the lower kind of ranks of, you know, employment, but when you start working with corporations, yeah, it's about being ruthless, absolutely.
It's pathological thinking and it's instilled into everybody. But then when you see that that's the way our society functions, then you begin to see really what's going on here, why the world is in the state that it's in.
Hmm.
And again, a lot of people don't know they're doing any of this sort of stuff because they're all compartmentalized. All businesses are compartmentalized.
Yeah.
No one knows what everybody else is doing, you know. Only the guy at the top knows what's going on, but he might be part of a franchise. And
exactly.
A whole bunch of other businesses, and only the guy at the really top of that knows what's going on. So it's all compartmentalized, thus our response to any of the problems is compartmentalized, you know. And it all happens because we're kept in a state of scarcity, and then we're given privileges. You know, you keep someone right down and then you start, you know, the more pathologically they start thinking and the more sociopathically they start behaving and ruthless they start behaving within business, the more rewards that they get. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a reward system. And once you've taken people's power away from them, completely disempowered them, then you start giving them control of other people, gradually giving them more and more control of other people. They like that power. They start to feel that they're empowered again.
Yes.
But really they're not. They're just a puppet slave master. They just don't know it. And they're given more toys to play with for being a good little puppet, you know?
Exactly. And I see, you know, a lot in the police force, and, you know, in the military even, but probably more in the police force because that's what we're exposed to. But you do see these officers starting to get drunk on power, you know, and then they start overstepping the mark and becoming, you know, ruthless themselves. You know, it's almost like, it corrupts them. This power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts ultimately, I suppose that's the saying, you know, and you see it, yeah, with this police force. And
well, again, it's
I've been asked to address a couple of the questions in the chat room. People are
Now.
Do you mind if I do that?
Yes, do.
See, it says, please ask Max what created the STAND system. I think Max already answered that.
Well, yeah, it was created, I believe, through fear. I think it all happened after the last cataclysm. I think there was pockets of civilization that went straight into fear, and they created a hierarchical system. They started putting walls around themselves, and it just kind of developed into this naturally, and that's the bloodline that we all talk about that started that system. I think that the source of it, the source of this corruption of our consciousness happened at the last cataclysm about 11,500 years ago. That's where I think it all went wrong.
Yeah.
And that's why I find it very difficult to point the finger at anybody and to blame anybody. As I've often said, I don't care what anybody did. What I care about is what we do from this point forward. And the big step is to be aware of this system. But the problem is the system itself. It's a pathological system based on psychopathic principles. You can see that by its very nature. It's been in place for a very, very long time, at least 5,000 or 6,000 years. And I can only say that because that's about as far back as recorded history goes.
Yeah.
But you can see traces of this system back in ancient Babylon, in ancient Sumeria, just because it was a hierarchical system. Back through the whole Egyptian culture, you can see traces of this system all the way through. And what it's done is it's just gradually made itself more and more efficient.
Mm.
And the way it's been done is through commerce. A big contribution was made to this system, shall we say, by Mayor Amschel Rothschild, of course, and by the Pope, the Vatican system. Pope Boniface created the Sesta KV Trust, the first Express Trust. I think that's where it became in its current state of efficiency. That's what caused it to kind of morph into this more and more and more efficient corporate system.
Yeah.
That actually happened, Pope Boniface, I think, back in the 13th century. Put the first Express Trust in place, and then three Sesta KV Trusts were created after that, which created the Crown system and all of that sort of stuff, and that's how it developed into its current state of efficiency. And then Mayor Amschel Rothschild basically interjected this private monetary system into it back around 1700, and this is the result.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel too that it almost seems to be like we're in a cycle of lower and higher consciousness as well, and that kind of falls into that time frame of, you know, 11,000 years ago. You know, I think that's what happens. You know, we tend to go through these cycles, and I think this is just another process that we're now actually experiencing, because as we're moving towards a time of higher consciousness and higher learning, we're starting to perceive reality differently, you know, in its true form. And we're all starting to say, hang on a minute, there's something not right about this. And, you know, I think definitely it all has to do with cycles and, you know, consciousness ebbing and flowing. And I suppose when consciousness is lower, then these agendas can be rolled out a lot easier by, you know, people that have got something to gain from enslaving the masses.
Well, again, it's just the system making itself more efficient. I mean, it's a natural result. This is the natural result of a system such as this. It's been put in place in a basis of fear. That's why I said it's difficult to point the finger at anyone. I mean, Mayor Amschel Rothschild, you might say this is a very evil person. Well, he's just someone who's without empathy because that's the way that bloodline functions. And he did what he saw was a good thing to do. And if you're a psychopath and you think without empathy, well, yeah, that's what you'd do. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to blame him for being like that. See, the problem is that people aren't aware of the system. They're not aware of how it functions.
Yeah.
And so therefore they're not aware of how to deal with it.
Max, I've been asked a couple of times in the chat room your thoughts on the Denver Airport mural. If you wanted to give your thoughts about that, if that is anything of importance to you.
Well, it's Agenda 21. I mean, that's Agenda 21. It shows exactly what they're doing. So they tell
yeah.
you what they're doing. It's all part of the ritual. It's all part of the ritual. They get more empowerment by doing that. And not only that, they like it. They like to tell
you. Yeah, they love it.
They enjoy it. They love laughing in your face.
I'll tell you something, though, guys. The those murals, there's two sides to it. The problem is that they only show you the bad part. And if you take a look at the artist, whatever he paints on the wall, he has the exact opposite somewhere else. So what he's showing is he's showing the struggle of humanity in one painting, and then he shows you what it's like when the struggle is over in another painting and everybody is together again. And
well,
you can
again.
See that they're throwing away all their weapons and things like this, and everybody's together again. So there's always there's an opposite. The thing
Polarity.
Is, they always show you only the bad part of the mural. Mm. They never show you the other side.
Yeah,
well,
there you go. See, I haven't been to Denver Airport, so maybe the guy's showing you that you actually have a choice and you better choose.
Yeah, and I think people just focus. I think people just focus on the fear once again. And as you're right, Max, this is exactly what they want. They want people to be discussing this and sharing this on Facebook. You know, just like the iGoat video. You know, it was great when it first came out. I thought it was fantastically made and it was interesting, and the symbolism was just spot on. And, you know, after we've all interpreted it and we've looked at it and we've discussed it, time to move on. You know, I see people still doing more interpretations and still wanting to discuss this animation. Guys, it's an animation. It's somebody's perspective on what's going on in these times, you know, and this is what they love us doing, constantly discussing this and sharing it and being distracted. While, as Max said, what are we really doing? What is knowing what iGoat means actually changing in our reality at the moment? It's, you know, it's great to be aware of it and to discuss it, but then we need to, you know when it's time to move on and to, you know, actually understand where our focus should be. And that's on coming together and, you know, being empowered as human beings. And as you say, Max, you know, knowing that the government are in breach of trust.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a great clip. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Rife with symbolism, but everyone's speculating on what it's about. Why don't they just go and ask the maker what it's about?
Yeah, exactly. And he actually says it on his website anyway. So I think people just want to find conspiracy sometimes. You know, it's as Danny says a lot, you know, it's about the excitement, you know, and it ties into what you say, you know, about people just coming home from work, you know, being bored because our lives are quite mundane and, you know, wanting excitement. So instead of finding the excitement on the cop shows on TV, they're actually now finding it in the Illuminati, or they're finding it in this symbolism. And it's
well,
about
realizing,
excitement.
They're realizing that reality is actually stranger than fiction, and that, but it becomes like a spy novel for them because they're used to being entertained.
Yes.
Okay, so that's all very well. That's all very well. Give them the entertainment, but give them the solution as well, and give them the empowerment, because that's what we need to be focusing on.
Exactly.
Reality
yeah.
is very strange, and there's a couple of questions in the chat room that they wanted to know if you knew anything about my work, Max, and just to let you know real quick, if you ever get a chance, because I know you're very busy, but I found interesting correlations that that show our actual reality is holographic, and I have found that the Orion Nebula and the center of the Orion Nebula will overlay on top of the Nile, the center part of it, and you can actually go fractal down to very, very small pieces. And I've also found that the master painters over the centuries have been painting the Orion Nebula, such as the Creation of Adam by Michelangelo and people like this.
I was just going to say that. You'll find the Orion Nebula, reference to the Orion Nebula in so much. Throughout, it's replete. It's ubiquitous almost in all cultures. Reference to the Orion Nebula. It's absolutely amazing. It's everywhere. I'm not familiar with your work. I get so many emails and I get so much stuff and it's just difficult to keep up with.
Oh, I know.
But I will check it out, especially if you're looking into stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, the holographic universe, some of the stuff that I talked about in the awakening, when people really understand how matter works and how reality works and how consciousness works, there's no question that this is a holographic universe. There's absolutely no question. Oh, yeah. Even the fact of, like you were saying before, about the golden mean and the Fibonacci sequence and sacred geometry. Now, sacred geometry is in everything. It's in every atom. Even you look at the chaos of a waterfall and you think it's chaos, but on a molecular level, it's not. It's sacred geometry. So if this was a random creation, it would be more random. It wouldn't be based on set mathematical principles. And I believe a lot of it.
What I've discovered so far is the Orion Nebula could very well be our collective consciousness. I have a video on my featured on my my channel page. So Max, if you do get a chance, you might want to check it out. You might your jaw might drop when you take a look in front of you and see what you see. It's very interesting. It's about 10 or 15 minutes.
No problem. I'll have a look at it. I'll see if I can get it done the next couple of days.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's great, I suppose, what Danny's doing, because once again, it just confirms to us that reality is about perception, and the reality that we think we perceive around us, this constrained reality that's been sold to us, is really not what reality is at all. And it's all about the, you know, infinite holographic universe, and we are all just fractals, repeating everywhere. You know, we're in everything. Everything's in us, and we're in everything else. We're part of.
It's amazing when you see it when you see it with your two eyes. It really becomes amazing too.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, reality. It's a fractal reality. I've spoken about this very often. I mean, it's very difficult for people to come to terms with, but I think it's important for people to understand how reality works. I think it's important for them to understand where they come from and their true history, because that's where empowerment comes from. People have often said to me, "How come how do you maintain this state? Like, you tell me you've never had a bad day for ages. How do you maintain this state?" And I said, well, it's because I understand what reality is.
Yes.
Not just I understand it. I know what it is. I know it inside me. And once you know something, you can't unknow it. If you really know it.
That's right.
Once you know something,
there is no fear. You can't be afraid of something once you know all about it.
Exactly. See, people equate knowledge with something that they glean from books, but I create knowledge with knowing, that inner knowing. That is what knowledge is. And ultimately, as I've so often said, all the rabbit holes you go down and all the things that you're searching for, what you're actually searching for is yourself. And once you find that and you find the power that you hold, all of the facade breaks down. It all just falls away. Fear gets removed from your consciousness.
Yeah.
You find yourself and you find acceptance for yourself, you know. That's the key.
In the chat room, they're asking you, they're saying they want to know what circumstances happened when your heart was open and how did you overcome any kind of initial wall, or what were the circumstances that came up to your awakening?
Look, I'd never really been asleep. I was questioning reality from as long as I can remember. I remember walking around my yard at 3 or 4 years old thinking this is all messed up. and I was asking my parents why we had to buy land when I was 4 years old. I couldn't understand how come the government said they owned the land and we had to buy it off them. I'm going, how did they get it? So I was never asleep. But I've always had this sort of connection with things. I've done lots of research, but I had a real spiritual awakening in 2008 when I had a meditation experience, and I basically just connected to everything. I connected to the whole quantum field. And I felt all of the emotion of reality. I felt all the pain and the suffering. I felt all the joy and all the wonder. And it was so overpowering that I literally fell out of my chair and landed on my knees on the floor, and I cried for, I think it was about 7.5 hours after this experience.
Wow.
I don't even know how long the experience was. It may have been half a second. It may have been an hour. I don't know. It felt like an eternity. And I felt like I was I felt like I was everywhere all at once.
I've had feelings similar before, but nothing like that. But I have an inkling of what you're talking about, and I got chills when you told me that.
Well, I felt like I was absolutely everywhere all at once. I was a part of absolutely everything and everyone all at once. And it wasn't just this reality or this universe. It was like a quantum. It was right through the fractal. It was right through the fractal, millions and millions of universes. And that's when I started making the films and I started speaking out. And doing what I'm doing now. And I realized I could change the world by changing my energetic state. And I could change my reality by changing my energetic state. And I've been hitting chat rooms and stuff since 9/11. I've been hitting news websites and all this sort of stuff, trying to wake people up to reality.
Yeah, that's like me.
And then I didn't know I was getting anywhere. Then I had this meditation experience, and I said to myself, what I need to be doing is doing a radio show. I said,
yeah, yeah.
if only I had a radio show and I was speaking to the world, getting this information out to them. So what I did was I got up in the morning and I sat at my computer and I started still hitting these chat rooms and doing exactly what I was doing, but I put myself in the energetic state where I was a radio host speaking to the world. Within 6 weeks, I was offered a show on a radio, and I became a radio host speaking to the world because I changed my energetic state to make that happen. And everything that I've had in my life since then, I've manifested through my intention and through following my intuition and following my synchronicities in my life, every single thing.
Absolutely. And that actually reminded me a lot of myself because I kind of became aware of our reality in 1999. And before I discovered YouTube, I didn't think YouTube was around. I was the same as you, Max, trying to get my message across in forums and you know, chat rooms. And when I found YouTube, it was a way of bringing forward my perspective but allowing a lot more people to hear it. And it just, I just fell into it. And then people started subscribing to my channel and I went, wow, I must actually be tapping into something.
Yeah, well, YouTube's a great medium. And when I discovered YouTube, I was able to reach a lot more people. So it's been a blessing in that way for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it looks like we've come to the end of another show, guys. So thank you so much once again, Max, for joining us here.
Great to talk to you, Max. Really great.
My pleasure. Lovely to meet both of you.
Thank you. And what I will do is I will post all the links to Max's website and his YouTube channel on the Sirius Rising Facebook group. And I think it's even in the chat room as well. So you can find Max there and as well as Danny. I will post all Danny's links in the group as well. And Danny, is there anything you wanted to add before we signed off for the night?
No, I think I'm good to go.
Okay.
Very happy to finally be able to talk to Max. It was a great
show. Yes, I know. All right. Well, thank you once again, Max, and you have a lovely day. And as always, peace out.